Time, Studio A. Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at buyer risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, with a weak voice today. Remember, the key to scientific reasoning, abductive inference technically as it's known, is to assume the truth of alternative hypotheses in this case, such as that the election was fair or that the election was stolen, and then ascertain, given the available relevant evidence, what's the probability of that evidence if the hypothesis were true? I'm going to give you a half a dozen examples, and then we're going to dig deeper. Here's perfect. In New Hampshire, Maggie Hassan got 1,100 votes in a New Hampshire town with a population of only 700. 1,100 votes in a population with only 700. Now, if the election were on the up and up, what's the probability of getting 1,100 votes in a population with only 700? Obviously, zero. If the election were stolen, however, what's the probability of getting 1,100 votes in a city of over 700? Very high that should be the case. Here's another example. How they did it in Maricopa County. Swinnick says that tabulators all worked perfectly during the test the night before the election. The problem with scanning began immediately with the first ballots. Voters scanned their ballots between 4 and 12 times with very minimal success. Poll workers estimated about 1 in 10 ballots were being read for the first 3 hours of voting. 1 in 10. Voters were given options to either spoil their ballots and try again or drop them into a different section called Door 3. As for Swinnick, their inspector had to empty the ballots from Door 3 three times throughout the early afternoon because of the volume of ballots. Typically, ballots aren't supposed to be removed from that box until polls close, but they made an exception because the box was jamming and became too full. Well, what's the probability, if the election were on the up and up, that the tabulators would all work perfectly the night before, but then when scanning began, even with the first ballots, they had to scan them between 4 and 12 times with minimal success. Poll workers estimated only 1 in 10 ballots were being read for the first 3 hours of voting. Now, you can anticipate in Maricopa County there would have been a huge Republican turnout, or Democrats who were going to vote Republican. They were only counting 1 in 10 of those ballots. What's the probability of this happening if we're on the up and up? Approximately zero. That's the probability if it were rigged. Rather high. Here is another. James Carville said his party would have lost 57 seats, but was saved by Donald Trump. Nonsense. They were saved by mass mail-in voting and ballot harvesting. That is a fundamental difference between Day and 2010, when Republicans won 63 seats during Obama's first midterm. The other narrative that's being tossed around is that Republicans had poor candidates. Again, this is to be expected, since many people are using the election to attack former President Trump, but it's a foolish take. You'll never have perfect candidates in early race, but across the board, Republican candidates were far superior to those that Democrats put up, with only a couple of exceptions. Daniel succinctly described the problem this way. While I've seen plenty of postmortems already, the single biggest issue that wrecked the wave was mail-in voting combined with ballot harvesting, which all but eliminated Republican hopes in states where Democrats control the voting rules. So I say it was more than that. The blatant, we had the dumps in Detroit. We had these manipulations of voting machines, ubiquitous, in every state except where those were being strictly regulated. We'll come back to Florida. As far as having weak candidates, how could you have a weaker candidate than in Pennsylvania with Fetterman or in Arizona with Katie Hobbs? And yet Fetterman won, and I predict Hobbs is going to win too, even though when she was interviewed by CNN, the interview went so badly they refused to actually post it. Here are three more stories that came in just today. Wausau County, Nevada fuels election security concerns. Across the country, various irregularities and delays in election results are creating serious concerns. Americans want to know that all legal votes were counted and processed in a timely manner, but also that all illegal votes were rejected and not counted. Although in some communities, such as Maricopa County, entire days are passing by with no clear knowledge of the winners and losers at key elections, let me add, that's because they need to tabulate the vote in advance, figure out how many they need to defeat the Republican candidate, and then either eliminate the Republican votes to create a Democrat winner or manufacture enough additional votes to prevail over the Republicans, or a combination of both. That's what's going on. Tucker called it out very clearly. Maricopa County, this continues, is not an outlier in this regard either. In Washoe County, Nevada, there are once again issues with the management of ballots. In the case of Washoe, however, these issues entail the live counting of ballots suddenly stopping. In the Nevada Senate race, live ballot count showed Republican Adam Laxalt with a fair lead over his left-wing opponent. Around the same time period, Wausau County's live stringing of ballot counts abruptly ended late Thursday night and into Friday morning. Nevada residents who were watching these live streams were met with black screens for hours. Understandably, people are now questioning what happened, whether or not the cutoff of live ballot counting was intentional. To this day, there are also many concerned about what transpired after the cameras shut off. The transparency Wausau County was trying to provide with live streaming ballot counts was undermined the moment the cameras shut off. If the live footage had been restored within minutes, there would be less cause for concern. So let's ask again. What's the probability you'd have these cut off of the live stream and all that if the election had been on the up and up, very, very low. What's the probability that the live stream would have cut off and so forth? So you couldn't see the election count if it were being stolen. Very high. Here is another. Guam flips to GOP for first time in 30 years. Tuesday saw Guam elect a Republican as its non-voting representative to the U.S. Congress for the first time in almost 30 years. According to the Pacific Daily News, Republican James Moylan, a senator in the island Senate, defeated Democrat Judith Juan Pat by 1,648 votes out of 32,502 votes cast. The outcomes are unofficial and incomplete. According to the publication, he was only the second Republican to hold the seat since it was established in 1972 and the first since 1993. Guam, an island in the Western Pacific, had the first Tuesday midterm decision. Now, what's the probability of Guam flipping if the election in Guam were stolen? Answer, approximately zero. What's the probability of Guam flipping, given all the circumstances of this election, the high inflation, the flood of migrants, the soaring crime rate, and everything else? Pretty damn high that this was legit in Guam, and very low that it was stolen, because this is consistent with what everyone was predicting would take place. James Carville even gave us the biggest clue of all, that they stole 57 congressional seats. James Carville is telling us that's blatant, and blaming it on Trump. See, they go ahead and commit the crime, and then they blame it on. This is like the Israelis on 9/11, blaming it on the Palestinians. The Israelis commit the crime. They destroy the World Trade Center, and they blame it on the Palestinians. They have a fake phone call called in. They have archival footage of Palestinians rejoicing right there at the flip of a switch broadcast nationwide. This is the same thing, same game plan. Go ahead, steal the election massively, 57 seats, and then claim that it was because Donald Trump was supporting these candidates and nobody likes Donald Trump, except as we've already reported. Republicans, conservatives are very enthusiastic about Donald Trump. Democrats, liberals are very unenthusiastic about Joe Biden. So here you have James Carville just lying to your face. Meanwhile, one might conjecture that abortion made a difference. Remember, they placed all their eggs in the abortion basket, the January 6th basket with the hearings, and of course, gun control. I have no doubt the Alex Jones trials for damages were scheduled to coincide with the midterm, as well as perhaps create a subliminal effect on the Supreme Court as it considers my petition for a writ of certiorari with a case related to Sandy Hook. They do not want the court to open a can of worms by finding in my favor. Well, what about abortion? Get this. Abortion did not hurt Republican candidates. Since Election Day, the media spin has been that Republicans underperformed, because Roe v. Wade had been overturned by the Supreme Court. Really, what they did was decide the court did not have jurisdiction. That was a matter that had to be settled by the states. So they set the decision, the question on abortion rights, back to the states. While the claim is being pushed by those who want abortion rights, or those who would prefer the GOP stay away from the issue, the data shows the spin is just a lot of bunk. It is true, Democrats ran hard in support of restoring Roe v. Wade while making false claims the Supreme Court and Republicans were outlawing abortion. They weren't. Still, in race after race, abortion was not the deciding factor in the election. Take, for example, races in New York. a state that has long championed itself as one of the most pro-abortion in the union. Pro-life Republican candidate for New York governor, Lee Zeldin, brought out the biggest GOP vote across the state in almost five decades. Trump had lost to Biden in the state in 2020 by 23 points, while Democrat incumbent Governor Kathy Hochul made abortion a key issue. Zeldin closed the Trump gap by 18 points, coming within 5 points of victory. In fact, all across New York, a red wave did hit, with 10 Republicans winning congressional seats. 9 of them are pro-life. The GOP also made a net gain of 3 House seats, including picking up seats in 2 suburban New York City districts where Democrats outregister Republicans. We've kept hearing suburban women were all voting against the GOP this year. But pro-life Assemblyman Mike Lawler, unseated incumbent Democrat Sean Patrick Maloney, who had made abortion a major issue. In many significant races across the U.S., Democrats use the abortion card without success. No fewer than 12 strongly pro-life Republican governors were elected, and not a single one was unseated, namely Kate Heavey of Alabama, Ron DeSantis of Florida, Brian Kemp of Georgia, Brad Little of Idaho, Kim Reynolds of Iowa, Mike DeWine of Ohio, Kevin Stitt of Oklahoma, Henry McMaster of South Carolina, Kristi Noem of North Dakota, Bill Lee of Tennessee, Greg Abbott of Texas, and Mark Gordon of Wyoming. Particularly noteworthy was a landslide, 59-41, re-election of Florida's pro-life governor, DeSantis. This past April, DeSantis signed a restrictive abortion law banning all such procedures in the state after 15 weeks of gestation. Meanwhile, his well-founded opponent, Charlie Crist, made DeSantis' support of the law a major issue in the campaign. In recent elections, Florida had been trending blue. DeSantis had only squeaked by in 2018 to win the governorship. This year, DeSantis not only won by a record Republican margin, he even won Democrat strongholds, Miami-Dade and Palm Beach counties. If abortion was such a determinative issue, how could that have happened? And how could Ohio have happened this year? Ohio has long been a bellwether state. Yet Republican Governor DeWine won re-election this year by a whopping 26-point margin. In 2019, DeWine had signed a heartbeat bill banning abortion after the first sign of fetal cardiac activity. DeWine's win was mirrored by the re-election of Attorney General Dave Yost, along with pro-life majorities in the Ohio legislature, and 3 pro-life candidates taking seats on the state Supreme Court. Across the U.S., Republicans clearly underperformed in the 2020 midterms due to such factors as having poor candidates being outspent by Democrats and running with an economy that is still strong with low unemployment. Yet, right to the very end, it's got it right, except for this horseshit about why Republicans clearly underperformed. All the evidence shows the election was stolen. This is simply absurd beyond belief to suggest they had weak candidates. Just disgusting. But the key point is, abortion did not hurt. Abortion did not hurt. So what else have we got going here? Well, the fact is, there's a major scandal that's emerged now. You know how enthusiastic the Democrats have been about shoveling billions off to Ukraine. Well, it turns out this was a money laundering operation. The money was going to Ukraine, and then it was being returned to the Democrats in order to steal the election of 2022. Yes, monster fraud, scandal, huge, breaking. Tens of billions of U.S. dollars were transferred to Ukraine in the end using FTX cryptocurrency. The funds were laundered back to Democrats in the U.S. How disgusting is this? There's been a massive campaign, by the way, to promote FTX with all kinds of prominent football players like Tom Brady and basketball, Stephen Curry, baseball, the whole bit. Did you ever wonder where all those billions were going in Ukraine? Did you ever wonder why anyone was trusting the elites in U.S. politics like the Bidens with billions of funds going to Ukraine? Today, it turns out these were excellent questions. We have information that the tens of billions going to Ukraine were actually laundered back to the U.S. to corrupt Democrats and elites using FTX cryptocurrency. Now the money is gone and FTX is bankrupt. Well, of course it's gone. They've done the job. They laundered the money. They gave it to the Democrats. They stole the election using that money. So there's no purpose for FTX anymore. Earlier, we reported the FTX cryptocurrency appeared to be used in a Ponzi scheme involving the Democrats and Ukraine. As reported earlier, the FTX crypto company gave at least $40 million to Democrat candidates and causes in the midterm. Sam Bankman-Fried is Biden's second biggest donor. In addition, Daily Caller lists many of the lawmakers whom Sam Bankman-Fried was bankrolling, who oversaw the institution that was supposed to keep an eye on companies like FTX. Here's from the Daily Caller. Sam Bankman-Fried, prolific Democrat donor and ex-CEO of now bankrupt cryptocurrency exchange FTX, funded the campaigns of members of Congress overseeing the Commodity Future Trading Commission, CFTC, one of the key bodies tasked with regulating the crypto industry and the subject of Bankman-Fried's aggressive lobbying. Bankman-Fried's FTX is currently under investigation by the CFTC and the Securities and Exchange Commission after Bankman-Fried allegedly moved $10 billion in client assets from his crypto exchange to his trading firm, Alameda Research, and a liquidity crisis at his exchange, which prompted the company to file for bankruptcy. However, prior to the agency's probe, Bankman-Fried aggressively courted the CFTC and funded several key lawmakers charged with overseeing the agency, pouring cash into their campaign coffers. FTX also happens to be related to Ukraine. Even the far-left Washington Post reported on March 3rd that Ukraine was dealing in crypto. The Ukrainian government has gathered more than $42 million in cryptocurrency donations since Saturday, plus digital artwork, including a limited edition worth roughly $200,000. According to blockchain analytics from Elliptic, the challenge is how the country cashes in on these assets to fund its war needs. Then, less than a week later, FTX made the news for involving itself in Ukraine. Amid the Russian invasion of Ukraine, the CEO at TFX, Sam Bankman-Fried, has come forward to help a crypto donation project. He humbly announced TFX will be supporting the Ukrainian Ministry of Finance and other communities in collecting crypto donations for the country. The Ukrainian government has received over $60 million in crypto donations from all over the world. FTX CEO highlighted that the war in Ukraine has been dragging on. The country is in full need of humanitarian help and access to global financial infrastructure. He also called attention to sanctions in crypto during this kind of situation. He indicated that crypto exchanges should enforce sanctions announced by the government seriously. FTX has stressed, across all its regulatory and policy efforts, active coordination and communication with regulators and policymakers is crucial to ensuring that laws and rules achieve their intended outcome. pointing out the urgency to help the nation, Sam Bankman announced he's honored to support the Ukrainian Ministry of Finance in simplifying the donation process. The word is now out. The Democrats sent tens of billions to Ukraine and then laundered the money back to Democrat pockets and funds in the U.S. Now the company is bankrupt and the funds are nowhere to be found. It's stunning, absolutely stunning. Instead of using U.S. military aid to fight Russia, Ukraine invested part or all into TFX, and it looks like all the money is gone. Democrat donations. He was even, it turns out, the number two donor to the Democrats. He was only outspent by George Soros itself. Of course, the Democrats are sending billions to themselves. They steal elections. Why wouldn't they steal money? And now we know from no less an authority than James Carville the massive number of seats that were stolen in this case, 57 seats. His party would have lost 57 seats, but were saved by Donald Trump, says James Carville. Don't believe the bullshit. This is the greatest theft of an election ever, even more so than 2020. It's absolutely stunning, and there's no way around it. We'll have more when we return. Just remember, New Hampshire, what a perfect illustration. How did Maggie Hassan get 1,100 votes in a New Hampshire town with a population of only 700? We got something for you if you're looking for irregularities in your assessment of the local election. Stunning, stunning. 1,100 votes. It could not be more obvious what was going on here in 2022.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of a library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, the two most glaring cases of obvious election fraud on opposite sides of the country in Pennsylvania, where the election of Fetterman, who lost the debate to Oz by 82-18, and where the polls just saw him dropping like a rock and Oz rising, where even though Oz may not be a perfect candidate, Fetterman is such an obviously unqualified individual to occupy a seat in the Senate that that's a signpost. If you want an overwhelming indication that things are all wrong, there you have one on the East Coast. And in terms of the West, in Arizona, Carrie Lake is such a wonderful candidate. She's one of the most sensational, perfect candidates of my lifetime. And I'll be 82 in December. This is one of the single best candidates. She's a woman, intelligent, articulate, knows the issue, has great presence, tremendous delivery. She has a background in the media. She calls it like she sees it. She makes wonderful presentations. So what's the latest there? She was running against a Katie Hobbs, an utter mediocrity. As I've reported before, CNN did an interview with Katie Hobbs, and it was so miserable they refused to publish it for the public to watch after having been live broadcast. Since partial results first appeared on November 8th, Hobbs has led with a 14-point gap. Yet the once 14-point gap is narrowed to a razor-thin margin. That is Lake doing better than she did among people who voted in person or dropped off ballots on Election Day. There was some disconcerting news out of Maricopa County for Lake yesterday, however. The Gateway pundit released a finding stated, Maricopa County released 97,000 ballots on Sunday night. Carrie Lake won only 54.6% of the votes from Election Day. County officials insist 100% of the independents are going for Katie Hobbs and the Democrats. 100% of the independents. Now, you've heard me report before that independents were breaking strongly for the Republicans. Even white suburban women were breaking for the Republicans. Catholics were breaking for the Republicans. Hispanics were breaking for the Republicans. So why don't we see any of that in the election results? The probability under these circumstances that the election was honest and accurate is zero. The probability that it was stolen under these circumstances, given the evidence, is close to one, a virtual certainty. Here are the thoughts of Wayne Allen Root, whom I've discovered to be a very thoughtful guy. You've been gaslighted. Democrats just stole another election. When something is so obvious, if the outcome makes no sense, if the outcome is literally impossible, then it is what it is. Forget proof. You know it. You saw it. You felt it. You experienced it. It happened. It's real. The 2022 midterm was just stolen, just like 2020. If you disagree, then you're either delusional or terribly naive or brain dead. Or you're in on the fix. And believe me, I know some who are terribly naive. It's time to admit that we're all part of a massive experiment in fraud, theft, brainwashing, and gaslighting to a degree never seen in world history. Think of all the times in just the past few years you've been gaslighted. They lied to you about open borders. They lied about Hillary's 30,000 deleted emails. They lied about spying on Trump. They lied about Russian collusion. They lied about a perfectly fine Ukrainian phone call. They lied about massive Biden corruption in Ukraine and China. They lied about the Hunter Biden laptop. They lied about the origins of COVID. They lied about the need for lockdowns en masse. They lied about the need for COVID vaccines. They lied about the vaccine being safe and effective. They lied and covered up all the deaths and injuries from the vaccine. They lied about the success of miracle drugs, hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. They lied about the stolen 2020 election. You've been the victims of nonstop severe gaslighting for a decade now. You're all part of a human psychology experiment. The limits that government and media can go in propaganda and brainwashing, why you can see they're lying right in front of your eyes. And these are the exact same people now telling you Democrats just overperformed and stopped a GOP red landslide against all odds without cheating and stealing the midterm election. Historically, every president in history facing his first midterm experiences a tough day with automatically 20 to 30 House seats lost and four or more Senate seats lost. But this terribly unpopular President Biden is brain dead with severe dementia. Can't put three coherent sentences together, yet Biden defied history while also facing the worst economy in modern history and the worst inflation in America's history and out-of-control crime and open borders and failing schools and polls showing 75% of Americans believe the country is going in the wrong direction Yeah, Biden beat all of that. If you believe Democrats made a miracle happen without cheating, rigging, and stealing, I have a bridge to sell you over the Atlantic Ocean in the Vegas desert. First, every poll in the country showed a gigantic GOP landslide victory ranging from a red wave to a red tsunami. Polls even showed women moved 32 points from September to October in favor of the GOP. But in the end, they all moved back to Biden and Democrats. Does that make sense to you? Second, every poll in the country showed the top two issues by a mile were inflation and the economy. And crime was in second place along with open borders. And they all voted for Biden and the Democrats. Does that make sense to you? CNN's own exit poll showed GOP made massive gains among almost every voting group. Men, women, white women, blacks, Hispanic, young people, everyone. And they all voted for Biden and the Democrats. Does that make sense to you? In this environment, where Americans can't afford gas or groceries or rent, with the economy failing, inflation raging, scared to death of losing their jobs, living in cities plagued by violent crime, mass shoplifting, homelessness everywhere, streets lined with poop, pee, drug needles, and failing schools intent on teaching your children to become mass transgenders. In this environment, they all voted for Biden and the Democrats. Does that make sense to you? That they looked around at the disaster one man had created in only 2 years, and they defied a century of historic midterm defeats for the party in power and voted for Democrats? Folks, you've been gaslighted. But the real proof the midterm was rigged and stolen is Florida. In Florida, the GOP won a landslide. DeSantis and Rubio and everyone else in the Florida GOP won in a red tsunami, the same one the poll showed was happening in the entire country. Guess what Florida has? Florida has strict voter ID, strict laws against voter fraud, severe prison terms for anyone trying to commit voter fraud, no mail-in ballot sent to every voter, no ballot drop boxes, no ballot harvesting, no ballots accepted for days after Election Day, no counting for days until the desired result is achieved by the Democrat Party. Isn't it funny and strange coincidence, a funny and strange coincidence that in that state, with all of those strict rules against cheating, the GOP red tsunami happened as predicted, but everywhere else, where there are no strict laws against voter fraud, and they allow all that cheating, the red tsunami fizzled. And that underperforming is being blamed on Trump and on conservative mega candidates. Yet in Florida, Governor Ron DeSantis is the most Trump-like, mega, America first, anti-woke, anti-tranny, in-your-face, ultra-conservative politician in all of America. And with that ultra-mega message, plus strict voting fraud laws, the GOP swept to a landslide victory. And in most other places, they did not. Coincidence? Folks, we've been robbed again. This was a repeat of 2020. They fixed, rigged, and stolen the election. First, they robbed us of the presidency. Now they robbed us of a red Republican landslide. And now they're trying to blame it on Trump. This is gaslighting. And we've had our election stolen again. Wayne Allen Root, known as the conservative warrior. Well said. Here's another devastating critique. Analyst warns there may not be an election in 2024, and the U.S. won't exist after 2032. I wish I could tell you he's got this wrong. Analyst Martin Armstrong has warned that there might not be an election in 2024, and that due to massive societal upheaval and financial collapse, the United States will not exist after 2032. Armstrong was correctly predicted several major events, including the 2008 financial collapse, made his comments during an interview with Greg Hunter of USAWatchdog.com. Summit News reports, according to the analyst, future elections are in severe doubt of even taking place due to rampant corruption and cheating, along with the likelihood that neither side will accept defeat. The cheating in the midterm election next week, and mind you, is making this projection a week in advance, is going to be so great that it is almost impossible to make a prediction. In a fair midterm election, the Republicans would win the House and the Senate, revealing that he's received emails from people in Canada saying they'd been delivered voting ballots for Pennsylvania. Armstrong is predicting utter chaos. Where this ends up, who knows? It is just so corrupt, it is over the top. It doesn't matter who wins. Nobody is going to accept this thing, and that is the problem. Warning that the midterm result will not be accepted by one side, Armstrong says Trump won't be able to run in 2024 because there probably won't be an election due to total loss of confidence in the system. Bolsonaro's defeat in Brazil is proof that all major elections are now being stolen, according to Armstrong, in a bid to eliminate any world leader who stands against the regime agenda. That would be the New World Order, and the World Economic Forum. This is a worldwide effort. They had to get rid of Trump. The other one who stood in their way is Bolsonaro. Then there is Putin, Russia, and Xi Jinping, China. I think you're going to have historians look back this 50 years from now, and they will call this period the climate change wars. They are trying to take down as much oil energy capacity as possible, really to return us to a feudal society where they can then manage the matters if they can reduce the population to a dramatically reduced number that they can control. Armstrong says his computer modeling is showing huge domestic unrest in the United States next year, and that conditions are ripe for a rocket launch of volatility and civil unrest. The United States will not exist after 2032. After 2028 and 2029, we're going to have to redesign a government from scratch. America is being destroyed. Tucker was absolutely wonderful, by the way, of talking about how these long delays in counts are to fix the election. They're to fix the election. They then know how many votes they have to overcome the lead because they've drawn it out enough. They've counted the ballots, and now they have to rig it by manufacturing more ballots in favor of their candidate or removing ballots in favor of the opposition. And Biden's programs aren't faring any better today than they have in the past. Federal judge strikes down Biden's student debt relief plan. President Biden's student loan forgiveness was struck down Thursday by a federal judge who declared the president's executive order unlawful. District Judge Mark Pittman ruled that Biden's program, which would have provided borrowers with up to $20,000 in student loan relief, was an unconstitutional exercise of Congress's legislative power, meaning by the executive branch, which does not have the authority. Conversely, the Biden administration previously argued the president had the authority to forgive student loans under the Higher Education Relief Opportunities for Student Act, of 2003. Pittman, however, rejected this argument, asserting there was never any clear congressional authorization for the loan forgiveness program. Soon after his ruling, Elaine Parker, president of Job Creators Network Foundation, released the following statement. The court has correctly ruled in favor of our motion and deemed the Biden student loan program illegal. The judge criticized the Biden program, calling it one of the largest exercises of legislative power without congressional authority in the history of the United States. And by the way, I'm convinced it was just a buy votes. They thought by offering to repay student loans that they could induce a whole lot of young people to vote for the Democrats as a payoff. But the fact is they generated as much resistance and backlash as they generated support. Others who I paid their loans felt this was unfair because they weren't getting their expenditures for college repaid. It was clearly graft and corruption, properly being ruled to have been illegal. But as I have so often observed, the problem occurs between the time an unconstitutional action or policy or declaration is made by the executive branch and the tedious, time-consuming legal process that are required to have a court find it to be illegal. All the mischief occurs in that intervening period of time, which in this case included the occurrence of a midterm election. This ruling protects the rule of law, which requires all Americans to have their voices heard by the federal government. This attempted illegal student loan bailout would have done nothing to address the root cause of unaffordable tuition. Greedy and bloated colleges that raise tuition far more than inflation year after year while sitting on $700 billion in endowment. The Education Department's initial estimates had the loan forgiveness program impacting 8 million borrowers automatically, while others would have had to apply for forgiveness. In August, Weisout explained the forgiveness program would combat skyrocketing cumulative federal student loan debt, $1.6 trillion and rising, for more than 45 million borrowers, as a significant burden on Americans' middle class. But it was just a bribe. Stunning stuff. Here's more now, and this is something that troubles me quite a lot. From Sundance at the Conservative Treehouse. It's the big ugly, and we're here for it. Perhaps a little focus on the foundation of the issue is in order. Ever since the professional Republican apparatus decided to target, eliminate, and destroy the grassroots movement known as the Tea Party, there was always going to come a time when the battle for the heart and soul of the GOP club would take place. Conservative Treehouse has been calling this battle the Big Ugly for around a decade. The big ugly battle is essentially the fight between the grassroots working class base of mega voters and the professional political snobs in control of the Republican Club boardroom. Some call it the base versus the establishment. There are other names and catchphrases, but the essence of the dynamic is the same. A scruffy voting base, who prior to Donald Trump had no visible leader to represent their internal interests around the mahogany table. Ordinary voters were in an abusive relationship with the people around the GOP boardroom. The club needed our vote and our money, less so after Citizens United. But it had no intention of ever actually delivering on the priorities of the voters. The Republican political establishment played loosey with the football for years, meaning pulling away when Charlie Brown went to make a kick. And we, the people, always ended up flat on our backs, continually frustrated and feeling used. In the same year the Tea Party rose up, the Supreme Court gave the GOP club legal access to unlimited corporate money with the 2010 Citizens United decision, a major mistake in my opinion. Mitch McConnell used the newly unrestrained campaign finance mechanism to further diminish the influence of the unwashed masses and eliminate the movement. It's all well documented. For the next several years, we watched and participated in a political pantomime with highlights to include the 2012 installation of club member Mitt Romney to represent our interests. Yeah, whatever. It was a hot mess. Bumper sticker? Oh, all right, fine. Romney, 2012. The base voters watch a GOP corporate club do nothing to block Obamacare even after we gave them the House in the 2010 midterms. Obamacare with another Lucy in the football scenario, while the Senate wing of the corporate club created comprehensive immigration reform, including amnesty with Marco Rubio. Eventually, the bloom wore off the rose, and we dispatched Virginia Club official Eric Cantor as a message to corporate club to knock it off. We'll be right back with more.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice.
anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Now we got Sundance at the Conservative Treehouse talking about a showdown between the mega Republicans, the conservatives who really care about the country, and the GOP leadership, exemplified especially by Mitch McConnell. And I thank Mitchell for suggesting that a teaspoon of honey might help. I think better, not quite yet there. The corporate club didn't and doesn't care. Instead, while they sold out the working class to the multinationals, TPA, TPP, Paris Climate, etc., they fought harder, gaslight more, and made even more promises they never intended to keep. Lucy had an unending supply of football. Then in 2015, things changed. The voting base found a weapon for use against the Republican club. A weapon's name? Donald Trump. From the very first poll conducted after his 2015 announcement, Trump was leading the charge. And that lead steamrolled 16 other club-approved candidates. The club remained furious and vowed to remove the disruptor we sent into the boardroom. Candidate Trump and President Donald Trump tried to deal with him fair and square on our behalf, but they rebuked him and us. The club schemed against him, connived in their little corporate groups to get rid of him, joined with the communists in common cause to cleanse the club boardroom of the smell from oil, tar, and fuel oil, and wanted that vulgarian representative of the dirty fingernail working class eliminated. They want only approved Republicans present. So it was always going to get ugly. It was always going to get big ugly. The club's enlistment of former Trans-Pacific Partnership approving Congressman Ron DeSantis as a foil against the mega leader is transparent. Mind you now, this is Sundance take. DeSantis, funded by massive contributions from the Wall Street Approval Committee, replaces the prior approved candidate, Jeb. This big, ugly battle is always going to end up with Bulgarian Trump versus the next Jeb. The club has selected DeSantis as Jeb. Now, let's be clear. The Republican political establishment, which includes the entirety of the multinationals in and around it, hereafter just called the club, doesn't give a damn about actually winning the 2024 presidential race. The club didn't give a damn when Romney was used either. What the club wants is full control of the club agenda. That's where the money is. The color of the flag atop the control Capitol Hill dome is irrelevant to the activity that takes place beneath it. To understand, remind yourself of the 2017 Obamacare repeal vote, 2015 TPA and fast track approval, 2015 Corker Cardin amendment for Obama's Iran deal, 2014 Gang of Eight amnesty bill, and more recently, the 2022 unlimited Ukraine funding bill. Under the Capitol Hill dome, both club wings of the uniparty apparatus feel the multinational corporate feed the multinational corporate vulture, regardless of the color of the flag atop the spire. The Republican club has no interest in Ron DeSantis becoming president of the United States. The Republican club has interest in Donald Trump not becoming president of the United States. Ron DeSantis is the foil, nothing more. It's not about Ron DeSantis. It's about the club, the mechanism behind Ron DeSantis. The same mechanism put $200 million into his campaign as enticement for his usefulness. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis versus California Governor Gavin Newsom in 2024 is simply two clubs playing the illusion of choice game. Ultimately, using history and modern politics as a perspective, if you really boil down the political sauce to its reduced state, what you find is, with DeSantis, the DNC club needs less ballot collection to defeat him. However, that's irrelevant to the intent of his usefulness for the GOP club. For the professional GOP club, as openly expressed by the establishment politicians within it, the donors behind it, and the media who promote it, the goal is to remove the populism within the club and bring back the multinational club alignment with corporations. That alignment was severely damaged by President Trump and the America First economic agenda. The core of the big ugly battle is a club motive based on money, power, and boardroom affluence. In essence, greed. For 10 plus years on these pages, I've written extensively about how there was always going to be a point where the big ugly battle was going to have to be waged. We have waited and waited, looking at each moment, each conflict, each disparagement, each slight and snub, in hope the spark would ignite. If the big ugly arrives in a contest between President Trump and Governor DeSantis, well, great. It needs to happen. The bottom line is, we need this big ugly fight. Not only does the future of the GOP reside in the outcome, the future of a constitutional republic free from corporatism is contingent upon it. Yes, this fight is going to be big, and it's going to be ugly. And the aftermath, hopefully, lots of free footballs. Bring it. Fascinating. Here's a final meme. You conservative pundits still don't get it. Trump isn't our candidate. He's our murder weapon, and the GOP is our victim. We good now? Blogosphere talking head. Fascinating. Perhaps I myself have been naive about Ron DeSantis, because what we're hearing there from Sundance at the Gateway Pundit is pretty devastating. Here's Emerald Robinson. It's deja vu all over again in the Banana Republic of Biden. Countless people have called in the last few days to ask me if Carrie Lake or Blake Masters or Adam Laxalt or Lauren Boebert and all the rest of the midterm candidates in stalled races will ultimately prevail. My answer is always the same, no. No, I don't think they're going to prevail. They're going to lose. In fact, they're being cheated out of their victories right now. And I mean, it's continuing even as I speak with you. Wendy Rogers tweet, should we be shocked? Harry promotes it, reports that her lawyers are on it. We will prevail. Nice thought. My rule of thumb is simple. If you're a Trump-allied Republican and your election results were not released within 24 hours of Election Day, then you're toast. The entire point of slow-rolling vote counting is that gives the cheaters a necessary time to count how many ballots they need to beat the Republican candidates and then to manufacture those ballots or to disappear the necessary number of GOP ballots by adjudication. Didn't the GOP learn any of these lessons from the 2020 election? Of course not. No gang of white shoe lawyers is ready and waiting in Maricopa County to shut down the steal when Democrats tell people on Election Day to put their ballots in trash bin marked door number 3. On November 9th, Senate candidate Adam Laxalt reassured his voters that his opponent needed 63% of the remaining 84,000 votes in Clark County, Nevada, to catch up with him in the vote count. Adam Paul Axel tweeted, of the 84,000 votes left to count in Clark County, Cortez Mastio could win 63% of them and she would still lose. That doesn't even take into account the gains we'll make from rural counties. Again, last night went exactly as we anticipated. We added 3,000 from the rurals and more coming. She added some Clark County mail. We expect the remaining mail universe to fall well below the percentage she needs to catch us. No status change. So it was strange and a little disconcerting to see that Laxalt's opponent got exactly 63% of those remaining 84,000 votes 2 days later. Sean Galanka tweeting, in a new batch of 27,300 ballots counted in Clark County, here are the results. Cortez Masto received 7,200, 63%. Laxalt received 9,000, 33%. This drops Laxalt's statewide lead from 9,000 to about 800 votes. Laxalt's confidence was gone today, as he realized that Democrats have no problem posting literally unbelievable vote margins in order to win. Here's Laxalt tweeting. Here's where we are today. We're up only 862 votes. Multiple days in a row, the mostly mail-in ballots counted continue to break in higher Dem margins than we calculated. This has narrowed our victory window. The race will come down to 20 to 30,000 Election Day Clark drop-off ballots. Senate candidate Blake Masters also seemed to share the view that ultimately he would be victorious in his race against Mark Kelly, because he too believed that the remaining 500,000 votes to be counted there heavily favored him. Blake Masters tweeted, "We are seeing the last few big pro-Dem drops. Soon they'll run out. And then there are hundreds of thousands of pro-R ballots to count. We will overtake them and win." Why would anyone believe such things after living through the 2020 election? Why did the electronic voting machine stop in at least 5 states on Election Day this week? What do they think is really going on? It's almost like they don't understand how cheating works. Do they think the machines malfunctioned and the vote counting stopped in Arizona, California, Nevada by accident or something? David Cross already has the receipts for the Warnock-Walker race. Just look at the guys in precincts in Georgia breaking 96, 97, and 98% for Warnock. Why do you think Fox has called the race for Mark Kelly over Blake Masters, even though only 85% of the vote has been counted? What's with the rush now? There are 400,000 votes left to be counted after all, right? Meanwhile, why do you think that nobody has called the race for Lauren Boebert in Colorado, even though 99% of the vote has been counted? That same thing happened a few days ago with Ron Johnson in Wisconsin. He was ahead by 30,000 votes, with 99% of the votes already counted. And no corporate media outlet would call the race for Johnson. It's almost like you don't understand how elections work in America now. I mean, it's stunning. It's absolutely stunning.
Yes.
Anyone who continues to have any belief. Here's Paul Craig Roberts. More thoughts on the stolen 2022 election. Paul Craig Roberts. In Maricopa County, Arizona, it appears that the Democrats' attempt to steal the election is being explained away as a printer issue. Somehow, the machines that worked in the primaries malfunctioned in the election. In Arizona, there seems to be an effort to disappear the votes from Republican Kerry Lake. Vote counting has stopped when 600,000 votes remain to be counted. The uncounted votes are day-of-election votes cast in person mainly by Republicans who vote in person as they've learned not to trust alternative voting methods. The day-of-election votes will be for Republican governor candidate Kerry Lake. Is that why the voting is stopped? Hundreds of thousands of uncounted day-of-election votes could also give the Senate seat to Republican Blake Masters. How do we reconcile Florida's red wave with the absence of one elsewhere? The answer is that Florida doesn't permit all the voting ways that make it easy to steal. I voted in Florida on a paper ballot that was counted immediately prior to my departing the site, and I was given a confirmation of my counted vote. Governor DeSantis and Senator Rubio won by overwhelming margins. DeSantis defeated Democrat Crist by 59-40. Even heavily Democrat Miami-Dade voted 55% for Republican DeSantis. Rubio defeated his Democrat challenger by a double-digit margin. Of Florida's contingent of 28 members of the House, 20 are Republican. Why only in Florida were Democrats rejected, as was expected to happen in many states? For democracy to work, those who control election procedures and vote counting must believe in a fair vote. They must believe in democracy. If instead they believe in power, which Democrats do, there cannot be a fair election. The Democrats are more addicted to power because, unlike Republicans, they have a revolutionary ideology that seeks to normalize perversity and demonize morality. Thus, Democrats normalize sexual perversion and teach critical race theory and transgender theory to school children in order to confuse them about their natural gender and to inculcate guilt for being a white racist by indoctrinating the young. The woke Democrats remove people from opposing their gradual and ongoing revolution. Another feature of the Democrats' revolution is open borders that are flooding the U.S. population with non-whites, essentially turning the U.S. into a non-white country, thereby dispensing with the reactionary values of Western civilization. At the hands of Democrats, white Americans are facing civilization genocide. Is it possible that white people are too stupid to see this and take no action at the voting booth to protect themselves? Or has Democrat control of many major cities precluded change by voting? In the large cities, the Democrats control the voting. They control who votes and how many times. Republicans don't want to embarrass America by making a scandal. The mentality is let it go, don't rock the boat. It won't happen next time. The media will skewer us for questioning America's righteousness. I know the Republicans are far from perfect, but they are not anti-white. If white Americans don't start paying close attention, they are history. The British didn't pay attention And now they are ruled by an Indian Hindu prime minister, and their capital, London, is ruled by a Pakistani. Both might be good and capable politicians, but they are not British. The British prime minister has already held a Hindu religious celebration at 10 Downing Street. As weak as Christianity and the Church of England already are, with only mosques and not Christian churches being built in England and Europe, how much longer will Christmas be celebrated in the West? Public manifestations of Christmas celebration have already been eliminated in America, thus placing us well on the way to complete cultural and religious deracination. Is America becoming a country that serves an armaments industry, Jewish bankers, immigrant invaders, and abandons the high moral ground to LGBT sexual perversity? The entirety of the West is becoming a culture like the bar scene in the first Star Wars film of 1977. As days passed, less and less remains of Western civilization to be defended. Absolutely stunning stuff. Meanwhile, Dave Martin, known as DC Dave, has shared 17 techniques for truth suppression I want to share with you. Strong, credible allegations of high-level criminal activity can bring down a government. When the government lacks an effective fact-based defense, other techniques must be employed. The success of these techniques depends heavily upon a cooperative, compliant press and a mere token opposition party. Number one, dummy up. If it's not reported, if it's not news, it didn't happen. Two, wax indignant. This is also known as the how dare you gambit. Three, characterize the charges as rumors, or better yet, wild rumors. If in spite of the news blackout, the public is still able to learn about the suspicious facts, it can only be through rumors. If they tend to believe the rumors, it must be because they are simply paranoid or hysterical. Fourth, knock down straw men. Deal only with the weakest aspects of the weakest charges. Better yet, create your own straw man. Make up wild rumors or plant false stories and give them lead play when you appear to debunk all the charges, real and fanciful alike. Five, call a skeptic's name like conspiracy theorist, nutcase, ranter, kook, crackpot, and, of course, rumor monger. Be sure, too, to use heavily loaded verbs and adjectives when characterizing their charges and defending the more reasonable government and its defenders. You must then carefully avoid fair and open debate with any of the people you have thus maligned. For instance, set up your own skeptics to shoot down. Six, impugn motives. Attempt to marginalize the critics by suggesting strongly they are not really interested in the truth, but are simply pursuing a partisan political agenda or are out to make money, compared to overcompensated adherents to the government line who presumably are not. Seven, invoke authority. Here the control press and the sham opposition can be very useful. Eight, dismiss the charges as old news. Nine, come half clean. This is also known as confession and avoidance, or taking the limited hangout route. This way, you create the impression of candor and honesty while you admit only to relatively harmless, less than criminal mistakes. The stratagem often requires the embrace of a fallback position, quite different from the one originally taken. With effective damage control, the fallback position need only be peddled by stooge skeptics to carefully limited market. 10. Characterize the crimes as impossibly complex and the truth is ultimately unknowable. 11. Reason backwards, using the deductive method with a vengeance. With thoroughly rigorous deduction, troublesome evidence is irrelevant. For example, we have a completely free press. If evidence exists that the Vince Foster suicide note was forged, they would have reported it. They haven't reported it. so there is no such evidence. Another variation on this theme involves the likelihood of a conspiracy leaker in a press who would report the leak. If it actually happened, surely we've seen it in the press. 12, require the skeptics to solve the crime completely. For example, if Foster was murdered, who did it and why? 13, change the subject. This technique includes creating or publicizing distraction. 14, lightly report incriminating facts and then make nothing of them. This is sometimes referred to as bump and run reporting. 15, boldly and brazenly lie. A favorite way of doing this is to attribute the facts furnished the public to a plausible sounding but anonymous source. 16, expanding further on 4 and 5. Have your own stooges expose scandals and champion popular causes. Their job is to preempt real opponents and to play 99-yard football. A variation is to pay rich people for the job who will pretend to spend their own money. 17. Flood the internet with agents. This is the answer to the question, what could possibly motivate a person to spend hour upon hour on internet news groups defending the government and or the press and harassing genuine critics? Don't the authorities have defenders enough in the newspapers, magazines, radio, and television? One would think refusing to print critical letters and screening out serious callers or dumping them from radio talk shows would be control enough, but obviously it is not. Very nice. From Dave D.C. Martin, whom I hope to feature on our next show. Meanwhile, call in with any questions or comments, 540-352-4452. 540-352-4452. Mitchell, handle your call.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Okay, we've got a couple of callers here. Bruce in Texas, first up. Bruce, share your thoughts.
Yes, hello, Jim. First of all, on a lighter note, I wanted to congratulate the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers. Y'all did a number on the Cowboys.
That was pretty impressive.
Well, I got friends about him.
Go ahead.
No, I just said something about Aaron Rodgers. He just knows how to beat the Cowboys. And if you go way back, the frozen tundra has always been a place where the Cowboys go to lose.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, but that aside, this Sam Bankman Fried guy, if you start digging into him, the more you dig, the more crap that comes to the surface. This guy, he's as crooked as it comes. How did a 29-year-old become a billionaire through crypto? It's not by his own genius. He's part of a large family of, you know, he comes from a wealthy family. His mother ran the biggest Democratic PAC of, you know, back during the Clinton era.
I don't know why, Bruce, we're having very, very bad reception. But thank you for calling in. Paul, go ahead. Join the conversation, Paul. Thanks, Wiz. Paul.
So I was just going to add, I'm surprised that Bruce did not mention, and of course I know you didn't in the first hour, that this guy, all the characters in that FTX were Jews, right? And you look at a picture of the guy, he couldn't be, you know, a more obvious and mostly repulsive Jews. I mean, that's the thing that has always been known throughout history. These people were generally easy to spot. They should have never been allowed to intermingle. At one point in history, they were indeed kept in ghettos, or the Russians kept in what's known as pale settlements. That's where the term beyond the pale comes from. And what we're looking at here is a situation where they are dictating everything to us, right? They're telling us what our money is worth. They can turn off our credit, right? They can use all this money that they seem to be able to get control of or make or create or whatever it is, and to therefore fix upon us the reality that they desire. And it's a situation that's never, ever going to get any better until we take physical action in this physical world, because that's what they do. They're very organized, right? They have plans, and they implement the plans, and we just bitch about them. Now, you made a statement earlier in the show, Jim, and I know why you made it, and that's fine. You said that the British people weren't really paying attention and blah, blah, blah. You know, they got some foreigner mayor, and they're having mosques built all over their country. Well, what would you propose they do about it, right? They were never asked, right? And as you know, the elections in this country on various issues and propositions everywhere are sort of their way of asking us. And, of course, we have now discovered, and we should have known, as I have for a very long time, that it doesn't matter what it is we want, okay, if they're asking, they're going to find a way to give us what they want, and they're going to thwart our will at every turn. And
yeah.
You know, I've been consistent in saying that this is just a very simple idea, okay? It's all about power. If we dictate to them what their money's worth, and we can turn off their money and their credit, and we can dictate to them how they're going to live, then we win, right? That's what the Germans did. We have to be, I'm sorry to say, but it's just the reality of the world. We have to be racist. We have to be. And by the way, I came across an interesting quote. I was reading through some of my notes. I have years of notes from listening to radio shows and watching videos, and it's just some of them are kind of organized and some of them's kind of a mess. You know how that is. You just write down stuff all the time. So Jay Widener on a Jeff Rentz show said one time that when they're calling you a racist, they're telling you that they hate your race. Now, I don't know how accurate or true that is, but I really do kind of like it. And as I've mentioned so many times, they constantly beat us over the head with race. They're using it as a weapon. They're using other races as a weapon. And they're determining our future. And as I've mentioned so many times, you know, I think in your heart, there's not going to be any constitutional Declaration of Independence electoral way out of this. They have murderous designs upon us, and that's how we have to think. So thanks for letting me say that, Jim.
Sure, Paul. Well, once again, and maybe I'm just not being sufficiently clear, those were Paul Craig Roberts' words about Britain and the UK, not mine. You know, I frequently present the views of other commentators on these issues, and it's just once again where I think it was very easy, because I wasn't constantly reiterating that it was Paul Craig Roberts' words I was presenting rather than my own. I am worried about how the hell you make your way out of this. I mean, James Carville basically admitted that the Democrats had stolen 57 seats that the Republicans were legitimately winning. And when you have Democrats controlling this much of the election, how the hell do we get it corrected absent violent revolution? I mean, JFK observed that those who make peaceful reform impossible make violent revolution inevitable. And there's no doubt about it. This was going to be a massive correction to the political landscape. It was going to bring the country far back from the extreme progressive agenda that's wrecking the nation. It would have been an appropriate correction. But Pelosi, Schumer, Soros, Obama, all the demon rats wouldn't let it happen. And I'm convinced that they use the same techniques in the United States that they used in Brazil. In other words, that the CIA is now managing our elections. Managing our elections. Do you agree with that or no, Paul? And is there any way, you're saying basically, I think, that it is impossible to fix this through a legislative or judicial process, which takes so long that the damage is already done? They're going to continue to destroy America. Your further thoughts?
Well, you know that it's true. I mean, you know, you want to hang on, right? We all kind of want to hang on and wish that, you know, it was the way that we used to think it was, or the way that we might like it to be, the way that we kind of believe what we were told, right? But, you know, you just have to let go of that on occasion. And this is the most important occasion where we have to let go of it, because what they're doing to us is slow and sure and incremental, and they've already demonstrated they're not going to quit. It's only going to get worse and worse and worse. It's no different than what I've been saying for 5-6 years or more on your show and other shows, that It's just like the playground bully that will not leave you alone until you fight him. Okay, we all probably went through it. I mean, I did, right? There was times where, you know, it's like I was forced to. I didn't want to, but there's just comes a situation where you can't do anything else. And let's face it, the problem is weak people. Okay, they cooperate and they go along and they believe, and you know, they comply. You've seen it with the pandemic. I've seen it all my life with taxes and tickets and just, you know, getting people to act like they're free. I still see a lot of mask wearing out here. And it's like I've said to this woman the other day in the store, an old, frail woman in her 70s easily. And you know how some of these older people, especially women, they get kind of frail and they have real skinny legs and all that. So she's got a completely sucked up mask on her face, like one of those duckbill masks. And I'm just standing next to her near the meat case. We're looking, and I say, you know, ma'am, you really don't have anything to be afraid of anymore. You really shouldn't wear a mask. You know, try to be nice if I can, you know, blah, blah, blah. I just said a few things like that. And she goes, oh, well, thank you. And then she says to me, she looks at me and she says, I come from a very science-based family. And
oh,
she said
my
it
God.
In a borderline snooty way, you know, just a little bit like,
yeah.
Like, oh, well, you know, I believe in the science. And at that minute, I was done with her. Okay. I said, yeah, you can believe in Jew science all you want, because that's what it is, Jew scientism. And that was it. I'm walking away. I have no more patience anymore for most Americans. They're not going to help and they're not going to participate. And they probably will not be in the way of what a few groups of determined men in different locations may decide to do in the near future. But it has to be done. There's no other way out of this. It's just yes. So the answer to all your questions to me is yes, yes, and yes.
Paul, I'm like you. I'm not seeing a way around it. Brian from Missouri is here. Brian, join the conversation.
You know, I'm amazed by Paul because he's so spot on with things. The guy really knows. And really, it's going to get better. This is part of the awakening. It's going to get worse before it gets better. But when people like you, Jim, see that, you know, our elections are fraudulent, there are more and more people waking up. We're actually the Aryans. That's who they hate. You know, you always heard, oh, Jews are God's chosen people. No, they're the devil's chosen people. And we are the Aryans. And that's what they do, is they try and destroy the Aryans. It's been going on forever. But we're waking up, and I think things are going to get better. You're going to start seeing things change. So that's what I have to say.
Well, I sure would like to believe that. Bruce is back and maybe with a better connection. Bruce, go ahead. You are garbled. Go for it.
Yeah, sounds better now. And, yeah, everyone's correct. Paul, you're spot on, too. It is these Jews. It's always been. It's just facts. I just don't shove it in people's faces on the, you know, as a guest, as a courtesy. And maybe I'm doing the wrong thing there. But to even go back to 9/11, Jim, I'm sure you're aware, Building 7 had the evidence for financial crimes being investigated by the El Dorado Joint Task Force. It was a big Jew that was involved in it, and magically all the evidence disappeared in the rubble of Building 7, you know, and these people, you know, the neocons, it's Sydney, Lindsey Graham put forth a bill to ban abortion after a certain week. I think it was the 16th week in September. And what that does, yes, it didn't throw the election, but it provided cover for the steal, gives the media the excuse that they need to say, oh, the Democratic side was energized. Lindsey Graham and all these, look at this. I'm going to run down real quick here. The Sam Bankman-Fried character, he contributed $39.8 million to Democratic causes in 2021, 2022, only behind George Soros. All right. But he also gave to Republicans. These are the Republicans he gave to. The campaigns were Senators Susan Collins of Maine, Mitt Romney of Utah, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, and Ben Sasse of Nebraska. Neocons established it all. I remember all the way back when Pat Buchanan was running, and Ross Perot and Ron Paul, the media would say populist like it was a slur. They've always been against the populist. Trump is the latest populist, and they're trying to take him down. It's like they took down the Tea Party. They took down the Perot organization. It's just a continuous war of the establishment against the people.
Yes, yes. Paul, you want to chime back in?
Yeah, sure. No, I obviously agree with all that. And, you know, I'll just mention something that you were talking about earlier with Ron DeSantis. And I know you've talked about him in a positive light before. Okay, sure. I get it. Okay. He says and does a lot of things that are appropriate. But you have to remember, you know, we have to be careful of, you know, false leaders, for example. So I did not know until the other day when I came across somebody talked about his background. Actually, I read about it, and you know, he went to Yale, and then he graduated with honors from Harvard Law School. So to me, that just makes me very wary, right? You know, I mean, this is just like an establishment blueprint, right? I mean, Bush went to Yale. Okay, all kinds of these people go to Yale and Harvard. The fact that he's a Harvard lawyer, and then you know, now he's a very well-known politician. You know, and of course, leave alone, but I'm not going to leave alone the fact that we all know he took, you know, a whole bunch of Florida politicians to Israel in a signing ceremony for anti-Semitism legislation in Florida. So it's like we're in a sticky pickle here. And I've advocated online and on other phone calls to other shows that I believe Ron DeSantis is a Sephardic Jew. I don't have any proof about it. And, you know, I look into his background, it's somewhat incomplete. But he just has all the look to me, okay, of a Sephardic Jew. And that's, you know, that's what I'm going
Paul,
with. The bottom line. Yeah.
Oh, I agree. He's slimy as they come. He's a false leader. Get this. He served as a JAG lawyer. And I hear a big echo. Maybe it's the other caller. Maybe so. He's a JAG lawyer in the Navy. And he defended some SEALs that got in trouble in Fallujah, and he received a Bronze Star for his legal work. Yeah, talk about getting your ticket punched. And so, he's the alternative they're pushing forward to try to appease. You know, oh, we're gonna go after wokeism. Well, yeah, they can't teach crannies past what the first grade or something like that. Yeah, that's terrific. That's just a half measure. He's full of it. I don't trust his tactics at all.
Yeah.
Bruce, did you want to come back in?
I believe it was the fourth grade. That's, so it was like some kind of magical line, the fourth grade or the fifth grade.
Wow.
Yeah.
Based.
Yes.
Bruce, did you want to add a further thought?
No, I'll hang on. I'll just listen.
Okay. Paul, more time for you, my friend.
Well, we haven't heard from Brian in a little bit. Why don't we throw it to him?
Go ahead, Brian, if you want to add Brian? More. Silence. Paul, go ahead. You got an opportunity here. I mean, what do you think about the big ugly, the idea of a fight between Trump and DeSantis?
Well, again, it's political theater, and for those who have paid their ticket and are sitting in the audience, you know, I hope it's a good show. But as I've made clear on so many occasions going back on this particular point, like 25 years, that I gave up the idea of voting because we're not allowed to decide issues or policy. We're only just deciding personalities. And you have to ask yourself honestly, Jim, the things that are important to me. And they should be important to all of us, such as control over our own money, sovereignty, right? Control over our own borders and immigration policy, that's sovereignty. Control over the environment, such as the chemtrailing and the weather warfare they're waging upon us. Control over the means of propaganda or information distribution, you know, the so-called mainstream media. We don't have any of that. And I say to myself, what's the likelihood that politicians or politics is going to deliver us from that? And I've always come away with the answer of zero. Okay, I've never really seriously thought that any politician, even so-called Ron Paul, I just viewed him as kind of a weak figure. I mean, I liked his message. You know, he never talked about abolish the Fed or really what it was. He just said we need to audit it. And then, of course, you know, he's a nice grandfatherly type of guy. I'm sure he's very decent. But I never held out any hope that that was going to be a serious political movement. So for at least 25 and closer to 30 years, I've been very resigned to the situation, which is what's the likelihood that by voting we're going to get what it really is, get what we really want and what really is necessary? And the answer is always zero to me. And that's how I look at it.
That's fair enough, Paul. Brian or Bruce, further thoughts? Let me bring in Mitchell. Mitchell, I'd like your thoughts about all of the above.
I hope this could be a problem. Yes, we live in a time where the Milgram Zimbardo Festinger Ash Monkey Ladder Experiment has been what do they call that? What do they try to call that? They wanted
it's been 100% efficacious, maybe.
Yes, it is.
I got a funny joke. So just real quick about the Milgram experiment is just always have a funny take. I've said to many people I know, and I'll say it on air for the first time, maybe you get a kick out of it based upon my personality, but I've always said I would have been thrown out of the Milgram experiment right away because I would have been asking the question, can this thing go any higher? Can I more voltage?
Which you said, I don't smell burning barbecue.
Yeah, it is bizarre that people would go along with inflicting pain. I mean, it's just grotesque. Mitchell, you wanted to add a few words more?
Well, yeah, you know.
Paul cut off with a joke. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no, that's okay. You know, in response to Paul, you know, you were surprised at the number of people that didn't ask the amperage of the voltage that they were shocking people with, mostly because people really don't understand that. No, we live in this time where successful psyops have essentially been run against the American people and all the people on the planet. You know, the monkey ladder experiment where, you know, they dumped the cold water on the monkey monkeys when they went up the ladder. And after a while, nobody went up the ladder. They just beat the monkey up. And without even getting wet. So, you know, we are a conditioned society. And until you get out that mainstream, until you listen to Revolution Radio, you really don't know the news. You really don't know real views. The only thing you know is what has been planted in your mind.
Mitchell, let me ask you, and Paul and Brian's up here. Is there anyone looking at this election that cannot see that it's been massively stolen, that there's nothing normal about this, that in a midterm election, they'd have a lot of losses of seats, and in this one, there should have been an extraordinary number of losses of seats? Mitchell first.
Of course.
Yeah, no, nobody I know is doing a quick, deep-seated investigation into, you know, exactly why. You know, I believe there's multiple reasons. Some of them are psychological, and some of them are actual ballot tampering, along with ballot stuffing.
Hey, I have a tidbit here. What were you jamming? Is Bruce again? Yeah, I'm looking at a screenshot here by Adimon LeClaire, the tweet. The 29-year-old co-founder of Maker DAO, Nikolai Munchkin, has been found dead in San Juan, Puerto Rico, just 3 days after tweeting the following from his personal Twitter account. CIA and Mossad and Pedo Elite are running some kind of sex trafficking entrapment blackmail ring out of Puerto Rico and the Caribbean islands. They're going to frame me with a laptop planted by my ex-girlfriend who was a spy. They were torturing me to death. That was on September 28th, and he was dead a few days later on the beach.
That's right.
Julian Epstein. Wow. Yep, he was an investor there, I believe, with in crypto. So, you know, maybe he's also.
By the way, Jim. So for my and Jim, the answer to your question is, of course, there's plenty, tons of people that don't see because they're not looking and they don't have the proper, glasses with the sheets. And also, there's just probably far more people that don't care. They just don't worry about it. They don't care.
Yeah. I'm just worried. I mean, how could anyone not notice this is massive theft, grand theft election, and on top of 2020? How could anyone who's paying any attention not know? It's just astounding to me. Paul, thank you for calling in. Bruce, Brian, Mitchell, thanks for your addenda. I think we're in dire straits. JFK had it exactly right. If we can't fix this, the Democrats would not allow the Republicans to win another election. I thought after this midterm election, the Democrats would be unable to survive as a political party. They obviously knew what to do, what levers to push, what buttons to pull. It looks as though it may squeak out that the Republicans still keep control of the House, but the Senate outcome is completely ridiculous. If we're lucky, Carrie Lake will pull it off in Arizona. But the Fetterman win in Pennsylvania is insulting beyond belief. We're in terrible, terrible shape, and the fate of the nation hangs in the balance. Thanks for being here. Don't miss the latest coming from Revolution Radio. We're here for you.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence